Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Hey there, Enjoyers. Hope you're doing really well. Well, here we are. It is Sunday, and you know what? We're going to have a great day in church today. I am super excited. Why am I super excited? Because in Victoria, you know as well as I do, the restrictions are easing and we're coming out. It is so good. This week, we've been able to catch up with a few people. Next week, we're going to catch up with more people. I want to encourage you, and I'm going to do that today in the Word, to be reaching out and connecting and engaging and enjoying the beauty and the wonder of fellowship. Now, you might be saying, Shane, what have you got in your hand? Well, I have got a concise Oxford Dictionary in my hand. You know, the Oxford Dictionary is the principal historical dictionary of the English language, published by, of course, the Oxford University Press. Now, at first glance, you might say, this is just another dictionary. But I want to say to you today, my friends, it's not just another dictionary. No, this dictionary is so much more than that. I recently watched a movie called The Professor and the Madman, which is the story behind the dictionary. It is, in essence, where this dictionary came from and how it was derived. It seems that it was in 1857 that the Oxford University set out with this massive project before them to create a dictionary. The Dean of the Westminster, Richard Trench, was the first to dive in and lay hold of the project, but he was a dean of the whole university, so he didn't have time for it. He passed it on and went through a number of sets of hands before arriving in the hands of James Murray in 1870. Later in Murray's editorship, he learned of a prolific reader named W.C. Minor, who just happened to be in the Broadmoor Asylum for the criminally insane after he'd murdered someone in London. Well, Minor had invented his own quotation tracking system, which allowed him to submit slips on specific words in response to the editor's request. And so it was that these two strangers spurred each other on towards the completion of this great work. Although neither of them saw the project totally completed, their encouragement to each other fueled them on to see the back of the project broken. James Murray is credited as being the primary editor of the dictionary. He was knighted by His Majesty the King on June 26, 1908. Murray completed everything through to the letter T. That's right. He was on his way. He was going so well. And then he gets to T, and you know what? He died in 1915. But who was there to continue the work? His good friend, Dr. William Minor. He'd been diagnosed with schizophrenia and died in 1920. He'd gotten the dictionary all the way through to the word viva before he passed. And once again, the baton was passed on, which led to the first edition of the Oxford Dictionary being completed on January 1, 1928. 70 years, can you believe it? 70 years after it was conceived. I love this story because it's a classic picture of the power of fellowship. Even within the halls of Oxford, the truth is the truth. You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 says, two people can accomplish more than twice as much as one, they get a better return for their labor. And I love this thought because it doesn't say two can do twice as much. It says, no, two can actually do better than twice as much. Personally, I think if it wasn't for the unlikely friendship and partnership of Murray and Minor, I don't know whether this dictionary would have ever been completed. But they found an energy, they found a life and a vision in their fellowship that spurred them on to do greater together than they could have ever done by themselves. Friends, I want to say to you today, you'll never enjoy the beauty, the joy, or the miracle of fellowship until it becomes to you a lifestyle. If it's just an idea, it's optional. But when it becomes a revelation, it is essential. This is why when Jesus rose from the dead, when the Christ, the King, the Lord, when he rose from the dead, he went and made himself known to his disciples and enjoyed some wonderful fellowship before he ascended into heaven. I want to read to you a great passage of scripture that really is going to take us on a journey today to where we want to land. All right, so Luke chapter 24, reading from verse 13 says, now that same day, just so we're clear, that same day is the same day that Jesus was resurrected. That same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things, he asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. I love this passage because once again, the scripture is so telling in regards to what God thinks is important. Jesus had been in a great battle that he might redeem the destiny of humanity. He's been to the cross, he's been to the grave, he stepped into the depths of hell and taken back the keys of death and hell. But before ascending into the presence of God, he seeks out his people. As soon as he steps out of the tomb, he seeks out those whom God has given to him that they might have some fellowship. I'm sure, absolutely sure, there was plenty for him to be doing at that time. I'm sure there was places for him to be. I'm sure that he was longing to be back at the right hand of the Father again. But before he went, before he ascended, he needed some fellowship. For true fellowship goes way beyond the natural and empowers us by way of the supernatural. That's why in Luke chapter 24, verse 32, it says here, they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" And that burning, friends, I want to say to you today, it wasn't just heartburn, but that burning was the fire of the Holy Ghost that fueled them for their journey that lied ahead. This same attitude and spirit towards fellowship is seen in Peter when the angel of the Lord released him from prison. In Acts chapter 12, from verse 11, it says, Peter finally realized what had happened. "It's really true," he said to himself. "The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jews were hoping to do to me." After a little thought, take note of that, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. He knocked at the door in the gate, and a servant girl named Rhonda came to open it. When she realized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed. Praise God for the joy that comes when we come together. She was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone, "Peter is standing at the door." "You're out of your mind," they said. When she insisted, they decided it must be his angel. Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking. When they finally went out and opened the door, they were amazed. He motioned for them to be quiet, just quiet down, and told them what had happened and how the Lord had led him out of the jail. "Tell James and the other brothers what happened," he said, and then he went to another place. Once again, I love this passage of scripture because in reality, the scripture tells us what God thinks is most important. Peter had been fearing for his life. An angel lets him out of the prison. And in a time where he could have gone anywhere and done anything, he takes a moment to think. Now, think about this, enjoyers. Acts chapter 12, verse 12. after a little thought, meaning this, when the prison doors were open, he didn't just do what he wanted to do, but after a little thought, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. Church, we've been in lockdown now for 8 months, and after 8 months of praying, the angel of the Lord is opening up the prison doors, as it were, and we're beginning to step out that we might do life once again. But I want to ask you now, before you start running all over town to do everything that you've been missing out on for the past 8 months, I want to encourage you to do as Peter did, and just think for a moment. Think about it. Just take a moment to think, because after thinking about all the things he could have done and would have done, he realized the thing that he needed to do the most was fellowship. Because fellowship is a two-edged sword for all of us. It benefits those who are committed to it, and it benefits those who are the recipients of it. This is what I love about the kingdom of God. If you pour yourself into what matters to God, God is going to pour back into you. Murray and Minor found a synergy in the natural that propelled them to do way greater together than they could have ever done by themselves. Murray gets a dictionary, just this simple dictionary here, all the way to the letter T. This is what I love. It's like you see the relay race in the natural, but I want to take you into the spiritual, because what you see in here is Murray takes it all the way to the letter T. When he gets to the letter T, he passes, and as he passes in the natural in life, he passes the baton onto Minor. Minor then takes it all the way to the letter V before he passes, and he passes it, and after 70 years, the Oxford Dictionary is now complete and in print. But friends, I want to say to you today that this word, praise God, you know, it's one thing to have a dictionary in my hand, but when I take up the word of God, the living word of God, but this word, it is still being written. It is alive, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And you know what? It's not complete yet. There are chronicles that are yet to be written, and they include you and they include me. But this one thing I know, if I'm to achieve everything God would have me achieve, I can't do it by myself. I need you in my life, and you need me in your life. We need each other in all of our lives, that together we might rise up and be the men and women of God Jesus would have us become. I can never achieve by myself what God would have me achieve if I lean in and we do it together. Jesus understood this. That's why one of the very first things that he did after the resurrection, after he came out of the tomb, he immediately went and found the church. He went and found his people that he might encourage them and he might be encouraged by them. Peter, the first thing that Peter did was exactly the same. After the angel of the Lord sets him free from his imprisonment, what does he do? He goes and finds his spiritual family that he might encourage them and be encouraged by them. Church, here is my appeal to you. Here is my challenge to you. The prison doors are beginning to open for all of us, particularly here in Victoria. And so my challenge to you, my challenge to every individual, every couple, every family, is to wake up, shake off your slumber, and go and find your people, your spiritual family. Because whether you realize it or not, they need your fellowship and you need their fellowship just as much. To help you with this is what we're going to do. As a church, we're going to be doing a whole lot of things. Over the coming weeks, we're going to be having meetings of groups of 10, and when it's permitted, groups of 50, and we're going to be gathering in departments, we're going to be gathering in friendship groups, we're going to be gathering our leadership teams everywhere and anywhere we can. We'll also be having some short fellowship opportunities for church on Sunday in the Sundays that lie ahead, beginning with November the 15th. So make sure, I want to encourage you, make sure from the 15th, you're understanding you're going to be coming out from November 15th, obviously, then onto the 22nd, onto the 29th, we're going to start stepping out. We're going to be stepping out into friendship groups, into departments, into leadership forums. We're going to be stepping out on Sundays to have fellowship opportunities. We will still need to do our services online for a season here in Victoria. That's just the way it is. But we're going to be doing our services. We're going to be streaming as good a services as we ever have, but we're going to be adding some very real and very substantial fellowship along the way. So think for a moment, enjoyers. Here we go. Think for a moment, enjoyers. Then commit to the way of fellowship. I want to encourage you, think about how it is you're going to start living your life now. Think about what it is that's important to you. Not just what you think is important to you, but according to the Word of God, be thinking about what is important to you. Then commit. I want to encourage you, commit to the way of fellowship. You need it. I need it. We need it. So to that, I say, let's go. Let's go have some fellowship. Even this afternoon, why don't you be thinking about, okay, this week, who can I meet up with? In fact, why don't we even begin today? Who can you arrange to go and have a coffee with this afternoon? What families can connect this afternoon? What friendship groups might just instantaneously, spontaneously say, come on, let's go now. Let's rise up, start making some calls, start shooting out some texts, hop onto your WhatsApp groups and say, when are we going to be able to get together? Friends, I want to encourage you, fellowship for a believer is like oxygen to lungs. You need it. I need it. We need it. You are not meant to do this by yourself. That is why the scriptures tell us, and you've been hearing it now for months, that we belong to each other. That's what the scripture says. That's not an Enjoy Church saying. It's a scripture. We belong to each other. And in that belonging, there should be a longing to be together. We need each other. We need each other's encouragement. We need each other's words of wisdom. We need each other's fire. You've got fire that I need. You've got a word of wisdom that I need. You've got spiritual insights that I need that are going to help us as we come out of our imprisonment back into normal life. But I want to say this to you also. Others have what you need. They have the word of wisdom. They have the word of knowledge. They have a word of encouragement. And friends, we will always be better together if we lean into each other and recognize, I need fellowship. I need fellowship. I was born for fellowship. I was created for fellowship. Right from the very beginning, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for a woman to be alone. It's not good for anyone to be alone, which is why at Enjoy Church, we say, at Enjoy Church, no one stands alone. That's right. Why? Because we're not meant to be alone. We were created for fellowship. I want to encourage you, make a decision today, just like Peter did. The doors swing open. All right, what am I going to do? But he thought about it. I've got to think about this. What am I going to do? I'm going to lean into fellowship. I love the fact that Peter went to Mary's house. They had some fellowship. And then he went on to another house to have some more fellowship. And then he went on to, it's like he understood that this is what I was born for. I was created for fellowship. Fellowship with God, fellowship with the brethren. And everybody said, amen. And amen. So I'm going to be praying. In a moment, I'm going to pray for every enjoyer that we would actually shake off our slumber, shake it off now. It's time to shake it off and actually begin to engage in some real fellowship. But maybe you're watching online today and you're not a believer. You're not in Christ. And it's like I don't get it all. Friends, you'll never get it all until you come to Christ. And even after you come to Christ, you still won't get it all, but it's going to hone you, and you're going to have clearer vision as to God, who God is and what God has got for you. He will reveal truth to you. You'll be able to step it out. You know, the Bible tells us clearly that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I want to encourage you that when it comes to fellowship, you can have fellowship. You may not be a believer today, but you can enter into fellowship. You enter into true fellowship through entering into a life in Christ. So I want to encourage you. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible also says the wages of that sin is death, but the free gift of God is salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. By receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can step out of death and into life and into fellowship in the body of Christ, which is, I got to tell you, it is the most glorious place on earth. But you can experience heaven on earth if you can experience fellowship within the body of Christ. Friends, I want to encourage you today, if you don't know Jesus, make a decision right here, right now. Give your life to Christ. Just make the decision. Now, you might be out there and like, I want to make that decision. I want to give my life to Jesus. Friends, you can know that your sins are forgiven. You can know that you're a child of God. You can know that there are people that are going to embrace you and love you and care for you and take you and walk with you as you go on this journey in God to a better place. It's a glorious place, but you need to make the decision. If you're there today and you're saying, Shane, I want to make that decision. Here's the thing. If you're watching on our online platform, there's a little raised hand on the bottom right-hand side of the screen. I just want you to hit that raised hand right now. If you want to give your life to Jesus, just hit that little raised hand right now. Just hit it in Jesus' name. Maybe you're watching on Facebook. If you're on our Facebook platforms in one of our locations, I want to encourage you, just write in the comment section, I want to give my life to Jesus, and someone is going to connect with you there. Friends, this is why we need you to hit the raised hand. This is why we need you to write the comments in there, because if you're going to give your life to Christ, then in that instant, God is going to connect you to the body of Christ. And what we want to do is connect with you to let you know that we appreciate you and we celebrate you today, and we're going to help you to go on this journey that you might mature in Christ and live the life that He has got for you. So just do it right now. Hit the little raised hand, right in the comment section, I want to give my life to Jesus, and we're all going to pray together. Can we pray? All right, all around Enjoy Church, whatever lounge room, family room, or place or space you're in today, let's all pray together. Dear Jesus, I thank you today for bringing me to this place that I might give my life to you. Today, Jesus, I give you my life, I give you my all. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sin. And help me, Lord, to live a life that is pleasing and honoring of you. So today, Lord, I give you my life. I give you my all. And I believe from this day on, I'm your child and you are my God, my Lord, my Savior, and my friend. And Lord, from this day on, I look to have fellowship with you, and I look to have fellowship with the body of Christ. In Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said together, amen and amen and amen. All right, I just want to speak a blessing now over every enjoyer. No matter where you are, understand this, you are always going to be better together. Better together. But friends, I want to say to all the enjoyers, understand this, we are better together. You are better with each other. I am better with you in my life, and believe it or not, that's right, you're better with me in your life. We are all better together. We are the body of Christ, and fellowship is what is required in this season as we start coming out. I want to encourage you, because many of you have been on the couch now, in your homes now, for a long period of time, and you've got used to sitting down. You got used to the slumber, used to the happy couch. You're in that place of comfort. But God wants to stir you up now. God wants to stir you up and that you might come back together and start encouraging each other. Like iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. This is our time to rise and shine, enjoyers. So get ready. Just get ready to receive a blessing. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, for every brother, every sister, every couple and every family. Lord, I pray that we would rise up, Lord God, and shake off our sleep and shake off our slumber and lean into, Lord, each other in this season, that we would encourage each other, that we'd inspire each other, that we would draw out the best of each other, that we might look to you and continue to come towards you, Lord God. For Lord, surely, Lord, you have a glorious plan for your church, and we are your church. So I pray, Lord, for every individual, every couple, every family, Lord, I pray as one we would rise and lean into each other, that we'd enjoy sweet times of fellowship, that our hearts might be burning within us at the revelation that comes as we come together to encourage each other. Lord, we give you praise for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. And everybody said together, amen and amen. God bless you, enjoyers. Kid Mania is on right now. Now, it's coming up right in just a couple of moments, so get ready for that. I don't know about you. I'm ready for some fellowship. Hope you are too. Let's get out there. Let's get on with it. God bless you. We'll see you soon.